More, everybody. How are you? It is spectacular outside, isn't it? Man, maybe we should have service out there, right? Yeah? Huh? Nah. We'll be in here today, and that's okay. We're going to start with In Christ Alone. I believe we're going to have it on the overhead. Maybe, maybe not. Here we go. You ready? Let's stand, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day you give us, the opportunity, Lord, to come here today to worship you. We thank you for our nation, Lord, for that you've given us a place of freedom that we can live. Lord, our freedoms are under attack. Our nation's a mess. But, Lord, here we can get a little order today. We can study on how we should be living our lives, Lord. We pray that the leaders of our nation might turn to you, Lord. We thank you for our military, Lord, wherever they are today. I just pray that those that are in harm's way, Lord, that you would protect them. And, Lord, you'd bring them back home safe and soon. Thank you for our pastor, Lord, his commitment to the truth of your word. Today, Lord, he's going to go into your word today along with us. Guide him, direct him, Lord, give him the power that he needs, Lord, to give out your message that you laid in his heart today. I pray that it speaks to each and every person in this room today, Lord. And if someone needs to get right with you, that person would do so, Lord, before they leave. Bless this time, Lord, as we study together and as we sing together. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now we're doing the Ode to See the Dawn, the Power of the Cross.
It's a little off. Give us a minute here. It's a new one. We're helping you, everyone, learn it today.
Okay.
I think something's not quite right. Are you playing it in the key that's written, or are you transposing? It's the key that's written. Okay. No, I don't think so. At the dawn of the darkest day, there it is. Christ on the road to Calvary. Something's not right. A sinful man, torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross of wood. There's the power of the cross. Okay, we're gonna scrap this. It's not working. Okay, we're gonna do something else. This is not the rendition that I know, and I'm supposed to be helping you learn it. So I must have gotten the wrong music. Dad, okay. Pick a hymn and have a great time. Okay. Sorry about that.
You got to understand, you're dealing with me. That's the biggest problem they got right there. How about we do 515, please? 515. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all the healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain, in the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the cross, O Lamb of God, bring a siege before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, be my glory. My raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross,
future soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Thank you. Let's see, a couple coming events, which is one tonight, 6 o'clock, our message, Way of the Master series there. That's some good stuff, folks. You don't want to miss out on that. November the 11th is our Veterans Day at the Monument at 9 a.m. You want to remember those guys and gals. Don't forget. 14/28, we have personal evangelism. We got a deacon's meeting. We got Thanksgiving service. We're not going to have service on Wednesday, but we're going to have it on that Sunday at 2 p.m. Let's see. We got a music meeting on the 26th. And today, anybody that's involved with the Thanksgiving meal giveaway, we're going to meet right after the morning service. There's one other thing, Pastor.
Yes, I need to talk with the musicians or anyone that's interested in a reader's theater for our Thanksgiving service, our combined service. And also, Lonnie, Friday evening at 6 o'clock is the Sunday School Revitalization group.
Okay. Okay.
So that's not in there, but that's an important evening.
Okay. We have a morning service, break for a couple hours, and back at 2 o'clock. There you go.
There will be several other churches coming down here for the Thanksgiving service at 2 o'clock on that Sunday afternoon. So there is a need, again, to prepare some desserts and things like that and to facilitate that. So, again, there will not be an evening service that night, nor a Wednesday service that week, Thanksgiving.
Good Thanksgiving. Okay. Pastor's off of the week. A fall may be hazardous to you and those that are clinging to you for their support. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the beautiful day, Lord, the opportunity to be here. And those that showed up, Lord, be with us, Lord, as we go into this service now. Help us to be attentive, Lord. Get something out of it, Lord, especially. But to remember today, Lord, as we do communion later, that what our Savior did for us, Lord, it is a memorial service. Help us, Lord, to examine ourselves and understand what's going on. Be us now as we take of the offering, Lord. Be it the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Aunt Sharon's going to thank
you. The Lord laid his song on my heart, and I couldn't change my mind. So, is my name written there? I hope yours is. Mine is, and I'm so thankful. Lord, I care not for riches, silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom, with its pages so fair, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? Is my name written there?
the sands of the sea. But thy blood, oh my Savior, is sufficient for me. For thy promise is written in bright letters that glow. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash them like snow. Is my name written there on the page bright and fair in the book of thy kingdom? Is my name written there? Oh, that beautiful city with its mansions of light, with its glorified being in her garments of white, where no evil thing cometh to dispel what is fair, where the angels were watching. Yes, my name's written there. Yes, my name's written there on the page white and fair in the book of thy kingdom. Yes, my name's written there.
And thank you for that great reminder. You know, I'll just add to that a little bit, that God keeps the best set of books ever. And the Bible alludes to two books that God keeps. He keeps one book that's called the Book of Life. That's to everyone that has ever been born. But he also keeps another book called the Lamb's Book of Life for all those that have been born again by the blood of the Lamb. And you know what? I can't help but say this, and thank you for bringing that this morning, Sharon. You know, at the great white throne judgment, the judgment of the unbelievers, where they're going to say, Lord, I did all this for you. He's going to say, I never knew you. And he's going to blot the name out of the book of life. And it will be forever for them to live in eternal living death. God forbid anyone here would be in that mode this morning. Anyway, welcome to Fruitland Baptist Church on that note. I don't know quite what to do with this anymore. I guess I'll just leave it alone. Anyway, I hope you're having a good day today. Hope you're ready to be fed on the Word and with the Word, not on the Word. And again, we're just glad and grateful for everyone that's here today. This is a special day because every day is special with the Lord, isn't it? But it's a day when we're going to commemorate once again and remember, memorialize what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary in his shed blood and in his body that was broken for our sins. So toward the end of the service, to be exact, in about 25 minutes, I'd like to ask J. Don to cue up the song that we sang this morning, the first one, okay, In Christ Alone. And before we go to communion, we're going to sing that with no instruments other than the instruments that God gave you and I. So make a joyful noise to the Lord, and may this again call our attention to what Jesus has done for us. And then this is not a bunch of fol-de-rol here. This is something that Jesus asked us to do until he comes again. There's going to be a time when this will all be done away with. We won't have to remember because we'll be in his presence. And he's going to have a feast for all his children called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. That's what we look forward to as we anticipate this today. But greetings in Jesus' name. I'm glad for everyone that's here. We are glad for everyone that's here. I trust today if we have anyone visiting that you'll be welcomed and that this will be a good experience for you today as we explore the Word of God. I better get my bulletin out here so I have all the tools and things I need to keep myself in order available to me. The title of our message today, along with communion, is Satan's Targets. And before we go to prayer, there is one other thing I need to announce. I want to encourage you yet. We're starting on the fourth portion. That's halfway through our study on the way of the Master. It's how to witness to people, how to share your faith in Jesus Christ with those around you. Please come tonight at 6 o'clock. If you haven't, it's never too late to get started. That's the good thing with Jesus. It's never too late until it's too late. On this front bench, though, this morning, for those that regularly come to this, there are some additional icebreakers and tools that you can use. If you don't come, I encourage you to explore this as well, and we'll have those available tonight, but they are here today in case you cannot make it tonight for some reason. So don't, again, go off to do a job without your... Thank you, Kim. Tools! That's why a farmer always carries a pliers in his pocket. Or her pocket. You never know when you're going to need tools to work with. Well, this is a day to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Jesus said in the Old Testament era, they came to worship God in the temple. Today, we still come to worship God in the temple of our bodies, if it contains the Holy Spirit. For those that are blood-bought, saved here today, let's worship the Lord here for a few moments as we turn our perspective to Him, and then I'll follow with a short pastoral prayer, and we'll begin our message. Shall we pray? O Lord, our God, as we bow here before you this morning, and as we examine our hearts and as we examine your worthiness in our lives, Lord, may this be a day that we offer ourselves to you, Lord, and when we acknowledge today that you are a just and righteous and holy, and Lord, the names and the declarations go on and on and on, ad infinitum, about your greatness. Lord, we proclaim your worthiness. We worship you today. Hopefully, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Thank you for the presence here today of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the presence of your Word today and the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit in the temple that is the body of a believer. So today, Lord, I pray that you will again be glorified, honored, and magnified as we consider you this day. Thank you, Jesus, again for bearing our sins on Calvary's cross, shedding your blood to cover those sins, to make atonement for those sins, and rising again the third day to give us victory over sin, death, Satan, Lord, and the tricks and wiles of the devil. Now, Lord, we acknowledge today that there are two dynamic forces, and we will see the root of one of those today. Your force, O Lord, has always been present. You are never-ending. You've always been, always will be. But we know today, Lord, one of your angels, one of your created beings, fell from your glory because he sought his own glory and has wreaked havoc throughout time and space ever since. Oh, Lord, we don't know all your purposes and how you handle things, but I know this, that the main reason he still exists and has influence is to magnify your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his salvational power to raise people from eternal death. So I thank you that that is yet available today, and I pray, Lord, for anyone in this auditorium that may not know you as Lord and Savior, that this would be the day they would acknowledge their sinfulness, their inability to be able to deal with that sin, and call upon the only name given among men under heaven, Jesus, to be saved, to be rescued. He is the one who has done it for us, and we can have that assurance by believing that we are sinners and that he is the only way to be saved and calling on the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that phrase that's found in your word, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You will never reject one who comes to you for grace and mercy. Now, Lord, we pray for the congregation today and for those that are here, Lord, that, again, we all have our thinking tested today, Lord, and, you know, that we draw closer to you because of it. But Lord, we also pray for several that are not here on a given day that are a part of this group, maybe officially at least, Lord. But Lord, we also think about our friends and neighbors and even our enemies, Lord, that may exist outside of these walls or within at times, Lord. I do pray for our community and the communities that this church is able to reach, Lord, not only physically but through listening on the internet. So, Lord, we pray today and ask you to help us and grow us. Lord, protect us today from the evil one. He's a wicked scoundrel, and he wreaks havoc. Lord, protect us. Help us today in this message from your word to know how to handle the wiles of the devil and the tricks that he plays. Now, Lord, I'm up here too, and he affects me. I pray you'd bind his hands, Lord. I struggle with all these issues like everyone else in these seats this morning. And Lord, I pray today you'll give me grace at least another time here to bring forth the word of God by your power and by the might of the Holy Spirit, Lord. I am weak, but you are strong. May this day be found pleasing in your sight. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, with some merit, we hear some talk today, more so than we have in many years in the Christian community in this country, of how the potential for attack on Christians and the faith are becoming more common and may be the way of the future by people. But let me assure you, it is not merely the people, but Satan, who is what? He's God's opponent, and he's our opponent. The Bible says he is our adversary. He is our enemy. Let me tell us, folks, unequivocally this morning, Satan is here to try to take every one of us out. He's here to try to defeat us, even as a saved person in our walk with Jesus. Friends, I want to tell you this morning, he cannot take your salvation. But he can make a mess of our lives. He can make a mess of our families. He can make a mess of everything that we allow him to be involved in. And that is the key, if we allow it. But folks, we worry about all kinds of things, and we're warned by our government and by other organizations of dangers. I want to warn myself today first, but all of you, of the dangers of satanic attack. It's real. The forces of good that are of God are real, but likewise so are the forces of evil. Never take it lightly. And destruction, my friends, is what we will experience if we allow Satan to get a foothold in our lives and in our walk. Now, he is our opponent, and he's God's opponent as well. That is behind it all, is anything that is God's is his target. And Bible-believing Christians are in his bullseye, from our own self and what we allow to happen, as well as those on the outside. So, friends, as I said, be aware and take precaution. This is found in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, where Peter warns the believers. He says, be sober. We could preach a whole message off this verse. He says, take this seriously. Be vigilant. Be on guard, because your opponent, your adversary, the vicious opponent of the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom, Peter says, resist steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 9. Folks, we're all in the same boat here today. We face the threat of satanic attack and satanic destruction in our lives and in the lives of those that we have a contact with. So be it known today, fellow Christians, we are Satan's targets, and not one of us in this room is immune. But we have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ on our side and his angels, and he will protect those he loves, and he'll watch over you if you'll allow him to do it. So, folks, be very well warned that we are all in the danger zone. Now, there's 2 points, but several sub-points. We're going to shut down at 25 after. I guarantee you this will be a comeback message. Okay? But here's the first point. Who is not a target of Satan? Answer? Many of you said no one, and that is exactly correct. Everyone is a target of Satan, even his own followers. Okay? Let me explain that. Even if you are not a Christian, and if you're not a child of God today, friends, I've got to lay it on the line. You're a child of Satan. Because as I've said many times, there's no neutral in God's gearbox. You're one or the other. Be warned about that today. You may not like Satan. You may not believe, again, that you are having been influenced or that you're an influencer for Satan. But friends, if you're apart from Jesus Christ, you're in the grips of Satan. You're in the grips of the devil. And he's going to play you like he told Peter. I have this as a reference later. He'll sift you like wheat and he'll use you for his purposes. And he'll block that cross. Friends, I got to park on that just a minute. But Satan is the ultimate personality that stops people seeing the cross of Christ and the Lord Jesus who went to that cross for us. All the way through from the Garden of Eden till the Battle of Armageddon, and then even after that in the millennial period, Satan is going to rear his head until God, through his Son Jesus, condemns him to the lake of fire for eternal death forever and ever, along with his angels. And folks, it tells us in Revelation 12, a third of the angels went along with Satan. We'll see all that and the basis for it. You can study about it. But folks, that's what we wrestle against. It's against principalities and power and that are in high places. Satan has a force with us. Let me tell you, though, this morning, even if you are not a Christian, he'll do his best to keep you on his side and to block you from the love message of the cross. This person may not be attacked, but he will target you with his deception, as Satan is the master deceiver because he is the master of self-deception. Did you get that? Satan's been deceived by himself, and that's what he wants for all of us. This morning I'm going to give you some proof text. Always remember this. The book of Isaiah chapter 14 and the book of Ezekiel chapter 28 are proof texts for what took place with Satan, God's lead angel who rebelled and fell against him. Open your scriptures this morning if you would, whether it's on device or paper, to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And folks, the base of all sin is pride. The Bible tells us, I'm paraphrasing here, if your pride rears up in you, there will be a fall. Pride goeth before the fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. Folks, if you and I are in a prideful mode today about ourselves, you're in prime territory for Satan to take you down and to take a hard fall because of that. It's how Satan went and how this happened to him. Here it is this morning, beginning with verse 12. I got to check my notes, yes. And here is what God is writing to the prophet Isaiah about why we have this source of evil amongst us. It comes from one of his fallen angels. It was never God's will that that happened, but that's what happens when we don't get God's will and we do it our way. And Lucifer, Satan, his number one archangel, is the one who rebelled against God. My friends, today, if you are in a mode of rebellion against God, you are in dangerous territory for yourself and you're in fertile territory for Satan. Now, with that said, some of you know I'm somewhat of a rebel. But I've learned my lesson. I don't rebel against the God of the Bible. Well, I may at times, but I know I shouldn't. Because he's right. And I'm wrong, and Satan's wrong, and my pride and my rebellion, if they're in the wrong mode, are wrong. They're sin. And they're heading me for destruction, and that's where they're heading you as well. So here's what Isaiah writes, what God told Isaiah. He said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" By the way, all the things that we see going on in our world today are not the fault of God. Who are they the fault of? But who gets blamed most of the time? I was conversing with a gentleman at the gas station yesterday, and I was talking about different things. He said, "There's a lot of corruption in this town." I said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "Why can we buy gas for $3.03 at Love's, but up the street it's $3.38? Do you suppose Love's sells their gas at a loss? Answer, class? No. So what's going on? Yeah. Then he used a few choice words, and then I said, "Hi, I happen to be Pastor John down at Fruitland Baptist." He said, "I shouldn't have been using those words." I said, "Well, God's heard them before." I said, "But there are things that we need to be accountable for before God. One of the terms he uses, I won't use it here, but why do people say to God, 'God, blank you'? But I don't hear people saying that about Satan. Satan. Because the natural propensity of people is what? To curse God and to let Satan go. Folks, it is exciting being out around people. I love it. I really do. Anyway, here it is. This is the fundamental stuff with God, with the thing that happened with Satan. Verse 13, pride. Here it is. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." When it's not thy will, but my will, folks, we're in fertile ground for destruction. And Lucifer was in fertile ground because he said, he had the Frank Sinatra doctrine. He said, "I'm going to do it." Folks, if you have that component and I have it in my life today, you're in the danger zone. It needs to be done his way, his way. Thank you. Verse 15, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol," or the pit. Or in the King James translation here, it says hell, to the sides of the pit. See, God knows all the way. By the way, you're not going to pull anything over on God. As I started out this morning, he's got the books. He keeps the records. When the IRS comes to audit you, and I'm pretty touchy about receipts and all that kind of thing, Kim and I have had a little battle throughout life. Kim does not like to be bound by keeping receipts. But I'm a what, Kim? What? I'm a fanatic about that kind of stuff. But you know what? I'm not that good. Because if I really got into a battle with the IRS, guess what would happen? Judy, you have no faith. I would probably lose if we got down to nitpicky things, because you know what? They have so many rules and regulations, you can't keep all of them. True? And there's always a way that they'll come out ahead. What's that, Brother Dave? Amen. Yeah. But that's okay. Satan, his angels. Now, I'm not saying anything about the IRS, but Shane, you better not listen to all this. There's a place prepared for those people, but there's also a place prepared in heaven if they'll call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? On all of us. Verse 16, "They that see thee..." Take note of this, folks. By the way, another good proof text about Satan is Revelation 12. Read about that. "They shall see thee, they that shall..." I got blood in my eye today because I got a shot, and I'm struggling a little, so help me. "They that see thee shall narrowly look on thee." See, we got this idea that Satan, he is a dynamic force, but you know what? He's a little weasel. What the Bible is telling, what God is telling Isaiah here is, if you look in a little bit as a personality, as an angel, you're going to miss him because he's a nobody. Satan, you're a nobody today. Get out of our lives. "Narrowly look on thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms?" I don't know about you, friends, but I need the power of the Lord upon me. I need to kick Satan to the side every time and every opportunity I get. And realize he's a scrawny wimp. He's been made to be something of a great force that feeds his pride. But God has control over him, and he'll give you control in your life over him too. And Lord, I need that control in my life today. How about you? That made the world as a wilderness. This is destruction here. And destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. Jesus came to set us free, his prisoners. Satan has come to what? To bind you in prison forever. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, verse 18, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. What is being told here, Isaiah, God's not telling Isaiah all the kings are something great, but he's saying this, they're going to be in better shape than Satan. See? But you are cast out of the grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. Satan is going to be the first one to experience eternal punishment when God places him in the lake of fire. Praise the Lord. By the way, some people have said, Pastor, can angels be saved? No, they cannot. There is no sacrifice that God provided for them. Once they fell, they're not like us. See, we are so blessed by being created in God's image. God loves us that much. He sent himself in the form of his son Jesus to die for our sins. There is no such redemption for Satan and his angels. They have made their choice and they will reap their destiny. Never forget that today. God is so good to us. Hallelujah. Verse 20, thou shalt be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Now, how long was I going to... I was going to go through 23. Prepare the slaughter of his children for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon thy name, and the remnant, and son, and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bittern, and the pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. You see, he was writing here about Babylon. Babylon, in the end times, Mystery Babylon, we've heard about that. It is the forces of Satan, folks. It is the forces of flesh that we see operating here on this earth. Sadly, we're out of time. But Ezekiel 28, I won't go there today. I'm going to end with one thing, and then we're going to go to communion, and then I'll give you point two next week. So you can think about this, you can pray for me, and be prepared to hear where the danger points are, what factors in the life of a Christian leave us wide open for Satan's attack. But folks, this morning, I'd like to have us remember this. Number one, if you are in cohorts with Satan today, you will not be attacked in the same manner as one who is his opponent, who is a blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ. And the reason for that is, I want you to consider, is because he already has you. And you may not hear the call of God. He wants you to be thinking you're sitting pretty, so that you will not hear the call of God. He'll block you from the cross. Folks, be aware of that today. If things are going great in your life, but you know that you're apart from Jesus Christ, folks, you've drank the Kool-Aid of Satan, and you're headed for destruction with him as well. By the way, John 8:44, let's turn there very quickly. John 8:44. And 45. John chapter 8, verses 44 and 45. Never forget this. Jesus says this. He's dealing again with the scribes and the Pharisees in this case, agents of Satan. You are of your father the devil. The lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now verse 45, as soon as I turn the page. There we go. And because I tell you truth, you believe me not. That is another trick of Satan, because he is the father of lies. He'll always let you and encourage you to believe a lie over the truth. Folks, absolute objective truth is Jesus Christ. You can believe what Jesus Christ says. It's palpable, it's provable, it's take it to the bank, because God cannot be a liar. But Satan is the father of lies. Be careful today, my friends, and Pastor John, who you listen to. Because I'll tell you what, as I mentioned earlier, it's found in Luke 22:31. Satan is out here today to sift every one of us like wheat, like Jesus told Peter. Now, next week, we'll go into this. What factors in the life of a Christian leave us wide open for Satan's attack and vulnerable for a fall? I have, I think, seven things. And hopefully next week we'll be able to, yes, I do, seven things. And I think they'll strike home with all of us, because we all suffer from the potential through these venues. Come back. We'll look at it next week. You've been such a good audience, but I want you to know today, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Satan is a liar. Jesus died for our sins because he loved us. He bled to cover our sins before the Father so that a way could be made for us to be restored into fellowship with God the Father. Folks, that's what he wants for you and I today. Jaden, if you'll put that song up on the screen again, I want us to sing this as we go to communion. We're just going to sing it with our own instruments that God gave us. So let's stand, and then we'll be seated and we'll have our communion memorial service. Here we go. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. Sing it out. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when spears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Next slide. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we'll sing the last one. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Power of Christ, I'll stand. Amen. Please be seated. Deacons. As I mentioned earlier, this is something that is not just to be considered or suggested, but it was something that Jesus commanded. You know, in many things, there is some value in repetition. And I don't believe that Jesus instituted this as a tradition. He instituted it as a memorial to jog our memories, okay? So this is called the Lord's Supper. I mentioned earlier, there will be an ending to this. When the church is with Jesus Christ in heaven, there will be a final time when we commemorate this, but then we'll always be in total fellowship with him because we'll be with him. And we'll see his nail-scarred hands all through eternity that will remind us of his event on the cross where he died for the sins of man. But until that time, Jesus said, "Do this as often as you do this." He used the example of eating and drinking in remembrance of me. And so that is what we do here at least once a month. We commemorate this as a body of believers, as the church, that we might be vividly reminded of what Jesus did for us. Now, as I mentioned earlier, if you have questions about this, I have preached on it. There are some messages. You can always talk to me as well. But this is not religion. This is not faulty roll. And this is individual participation with the Lord here today. This is a time when it's up to you and the Lord. There's no communion police. Don't watch others. Don't look around. It's a time with you and the Lord. And as I say, I usually use a text in 1 Corinthians 11. I was led to use one of the upper room texts this morning where Jesus was meeting with the disciples when they instituted this before the Passover. But I just say this today, be very cautious about this. Do not do it or participate in it unworthily. And obviously, if you've never been bought by Christ's broken body and his shed blood, it's better to pass this by and consider what Jesus did and by faith accept what he did as the payment for the penalty that you and I deserved of eternal death and trust him. And understand that he did that for you personally and for your sin and mine. So with that in mind today, we have some representative elements here. We have unleavened bread that is broken, representing the body of Christ as he bore our sins. And we have a group of, I'm having trouble speaking today. We have a representative of fruit of the vine, which Jesus used to represent his blood with his disciples when he instituted this. So today, to begin with, I'm going to ask Lonnie Hansford if he would again thank our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ that he was willing and obedient to his Father and came to have his body hung on a tree and to bear the sins for all time of all people who will receive him. Lonnie, that's something we can't hardly wrap our heads around, but Jesus loved people. God loved people that much through his son, Jesus. Jesus came as the innocent to die for the guilty. Brother Lonnie.
Father, thank you for allowing us to come here today. Listen to Pastor preach, Lord, and now to remember what our Savior did for us. Lord, thank you for his sacrifice that he made for us, Lord. His love for us, Lord, it only models after your love for us, first of all. No greater thing, Lord, than we can imagine that a man give up his life
yes.
for those that need him, Lord, as we did. Thank you, Lord, for the shed blood. Thank you for what he went through. Thank you for his ultimate crucifixion. But, Lord, he rose on the third day. We're here to remember, Lord, what you did for us in taking of these elements, Lord. What a great time it's going to be, Lord, when we're there before you, when we take that Last Supper. To be true and total victory, Lord. Thank you for it. Help us today, Lord, just to remember what you did. Love you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The recollection of what took place in the upper room with Jesus and the disciples today is recorded in Luke chapter 22. And Jesus said the following here in verse 19. After he took bread and gave thanks, he broke it. That symbolized again what was to come just a day later as he went to Calvary's cross and his body was broken for our sin. And gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And so at this time, I'm going to ask Denny Wheeler if he may have a few thoughts or comments. These represent the blood of Christ. By the way, this does not save you. It's only a memorial. Not only, but it is a memorial. But it does not save you. Jesus saves us. And we are saved by us, our trust, acknowledging our sins, and again, believing and trusting on what Christ did for us in the power of the cross and the resurrection. So, Denny, this is certainly a time to say thanks, but you might have some other thoughts as well.
And Father, again, we thank you for your love today, Lord. And again, we want to thank you for bringing us together as one, Lord, as you call us. And to you, Lord, we thank you for this privilege and honor, Lord, to come before you to express our love for you. And Lord, may we each ask ourselves, have we truly, really forgotten you, Lord, in what you have done for us, Lord?
As yes.
I've been thinking here lately, Lord, about you dying on the cross for us, shedding your blood, but also there's one other thing that you have taken to the cross, and that's our shame, Lord,
yes.
Upon you, Lord. Oh, Lord, to do this for us is truly a miracle, Lord, that is taking place, Lord. Upon the cross, Lord, you shed your nakedness, Lord, before all people, Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us, Father, for forgetting about you. Now, Lord, as I spoke, Lord, as we come before you, as one, Lord, may our hearts be turned toward you, Lord. May our hearts be want to be changed, Lord. May that be a question for each and every one of us, Lord. Do we really want to be changed? And hopefully that's what's up on our hearts today, Lord. Now, Lord, thank you for your love and touching us in a special way, Lord.
Yes.
Change us, Lord, and make us more like you.
Amen. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." It's Jesus' blood that redeems us from the curse of sin. When God sees his blood over our sin, he says, "I will pass over you." Yeah, he loves us that dearly. So let's do this in remembrance of him. We did things in a little different order today. We sang the hymn first. So as we depart today, greet one another in fellowship with the Lord. And let me just say this, if you are not in fellowship with Jesus, I'm glad to visit with you. There are others here that will too. But don't take this opportunity to let Satan defeat you again. Claim the victory through Christ and his work on the cross. Let's stand for the Aaronic benediction. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee his peace, both now and forevermore. I dismiss you in Jesus' name. Amen.